Let's pray, shall we, together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you are doing. Sometimes, Lord, it's us keeping in step with you, keeping up with you. It's us waiting upon you to find out what you're doing and then to do it and to be part of it. And that's what how we feel like today, Lord. We want to catch up because you've got a plan and you're unfolding this plan amongst the churches. Lord, this is a church-wide thing. And I want to praise you for being able to be joined in with our hearts in mission to the lost. And opportunities to, Lord, to share your wonderful plan for people's lives, not only to be healed, but the big healing is a transformation, a healing of hearts, a healing of people's relationship with you. And so we pray for that. Your word says it is God's desire that all men and women be saved. And I pray, Lord, that that will just so grip us and fill our hearts with love and compassion, just to be part of that becoming possible in your wonderful name. Well, for those folks who are visiting, we've been actually, or I've been preaching through the book of Joshua, because I feel Joshua is very important for us, the book of Joshua. Alistair Murdoch brought a message when we were up in the Wesley Hall, and it was really very poignant. It was, I really kind of sensed that this was going to become a book very special for us. And one of the great things, I put down good here, but the great things about preaching a series of messages through a book is this. You get to preach and you have to preach on all kinds of things. Rather than your pet things, your favourite topics, all right? And some topics are easy to preach on. And guess what? Today is a tough one. All right? I'm going to be preaching some tough stuff, proclaiming it. But you see, all subjects, all doctrines that come out of the teaching of the Bible are important. And as a pastor and as a leader, you can't shirk from your spiritual and leadership responsibility to preach and proclaim the whole counsel of God. Not just, you don't tickle ears. So I won't be tickling ears. That's the, you find that phrase in the Bible. All right. I'm not going to be tickling your ears today. Far from it. But we're on to chapter 7. It is a glorious chapter. But it's got some hard stuff in it. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed in the NIV, the New Inspired Version, some say. Or God-breathed, or all scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. Now, that's the four functions of proclaiming God's word. And he'll be doing some of this today. So we've got a difficult topic to consider. Anybody know where I'm at? Yeah? Joshua chapter 7. If you've got your Bible with you, if you've only got half the Bible, you've got the wrong half. Okay, why they don't make a New Testament, an Old Testament and a New Testament and put it together yourself, I don't know. But they just, okay. So we're going to be reading the Old Testament, all right. And we'll be looking in and out of chapter 7 as we go through the message. Let me ask you to start with, do you like problems? Put your hands up if you like problems. No. What, thought Nigel was putting his hand, no, he's scratching his head. Right. I was going to write that down. Nigel likes problems. Okay. Nobody really likes problems. But the fact is, problems and struggles, what they do spiritually for us? They make us, or should make us, dependent on God. Right? For example, we've had a wonderful problem shared. What should I do for this part? Sorry, what should we do, man and wife? What should we do in this particular part of our life? That can be a problem. It's a problem if you've got a choice. Isn't it? Yep, big problem. All right? And it should drive us to God. See, we're going through problems. What do? We should be turned to God for help. That should be the immediate. When your finances are low. Anybody ever had finances low? Okay, hands down, who hasn't? That's probably better. All right. Okay. What do? We should turn to God, because he's called in the Old Testament Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. God promises to provide what we need. So if your body is broken, it's hurting, you're suffering, what do? What should we do? We should turn to God. We should turn to God and ask God to heal us or to give us strength. The grace, as Paul says in the second book of Corinthians, the grace to go through the thorn and to live with the thorn. But did you know there is danger in success? That's what we've been looking at in the last message, Joshua chapter 6. We were looking at success. Initiated by God, brought through with God, by God, but we were looking at success. What kind of dangers can come out of success? Well, it can breed in us, it can give rise in our hearts to carelessness. Presumption. It happened before, it'll happen again. And you can actually become over self-confident. You no longer trust God. You no longer really rely on God. Because in the past, you're just sailing. All right? And this morning's text is actually illustrates this truth about success and the effects of success. I want you to have a think about what's happened to the people of Israel so far. What if it was happened? They've crossed the Jordan. We looked at that, how that happened. When did it happen? When? Soon, not before. As soon as the priests put their feet in the Jordan River, wham! Further upstream, God held it back. It was taking a step of faith. All right. So the people of Israel had experienced that. They had just before established a new leader, Joshua. They'd had for 40 years Moses, and a little bit before under the Egyptians. And so they'd got a new leader. All right. Then Jericho. That's what we looked at last time. What happened at Jericho? The walls fell down. Okay? A miracle. Who did it? God did it. And so they were on the receiving end of God blessing them. All right? Wonderful. All these things were a sign that God was with them. And that's what God wanted them to pick up in it. But their confidence became kind of self-confident, and it became a dangerous time for them. And I've got four lessons here. The last one's very short, and it's a lifting lesson. The other three, all right, The first one, the first lesson from Joshua chapter 7 is we are all extremely vulnerable to temptation in moments of apparent success. We get tempted easily. The next city for Israel to take was what? Ai. Ai in Japanese means love. Strange name for a city, right, when I first read it. The next city then was Ai. And so, what does Joshua do? Bit like before, let's send out a few spies. That's what we find out in Joshua chapter 1 and 2 and 3. And the spies come back. And what do they say? Let's have a look. Let's have a read. Let's turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. I'm going to start from verse 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. Do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. So about 3,000 men went up. But they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. And I actually said to my wife, can you say about 36, Di? You've said about 3,000. Yeah, I get it. But about 36, I'd say 36, wouldn't you? Yeah, because 36.5, no. 35.5, no. 36 were killed. There was a problem. They went up. They thought it was dead easy. We don't need to take everybody up. It was going up a big hill, about 15 miles, if you read, up to Ai. And it was a big, big, big slope. All right. And they said, no, a few men will do it. Let's take 3,000. And they did. And there was presumption there. All right. We've done it before. Jericho. We can do it again, right? And what happens? Well, Ai was a weak city. Read a little bit about Ai. And it was supposed to be an easy battle. But we see what happened. 36 men were killed. And the others were chased off, all right, by the soldiers in Ai. Israel was defeated at Ai, when it should have been a dead cert compared to Jericho. All right? I want you to notice the sequence of what happened afterwards. In verse 5, it actually says, the hearts of the people melted like water. That's how they felt after the defeat at Ai. And then Joshua does an incredible thing in verse 6. What does he do? What does it say he does? In verse 6, he tore his clothes, right? And he threw himself down on the ground. That was Joshua. And the people saw Joshua and some of them joined in. Exactly. Now, what was that all about? Joshua and the people had lost their confidence, you see? They're melting in fear concerning Ai. Wimpy little Ai. Right? That was their problem. And sometimes it's not the strongest things that get hold of us. We succumb to the weakest of temptations. Self-confidence. We'll be seeing what really happened. What was the downfall of it? And I wondered this morning, I was up kind of early this morning, right, about 3:30.
And God woke me up at 3:30. And I give God 10 minutes to put me back to sleep. And if he doesn't, it twigs. God's got something to say. And I thought, when I was praying, because that's what I did, I read through this and then I prayed. And I believe God laid on my heart that, Andy, you started through this series. And it comes to today that these people and you need to hear this message. That's what I really sensed that God said to me. And I began to pray for us, that we would receive it and the challenge of this. And my question to you this morning is this. Is there something at the moment in your life, some habit, some excess thing you're doing, some sin that you're struggling with this morning in your Christian life? Because we'll be talking about personal struggles of sin by Achan. That's what chapter 7 is really all about. Are you struggling with something like that? Something you, as yet you don't have the victory on. Something in your own personal life. This defeat at Ai brought Israel to their knees. It did. I want you to notice what Joshua says back to God in verse 10. This is what he says. And Joshua said, Ah! I thought that's how you pronounce. Ah, Sovereign Lord. Why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Why did you do that? He's saying. If only we'd been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. And then he says, Oh Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, the Canaanites, and the other people of the country will hear about this and they'll surround us and they'll wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? That's what Israel, in a sense, cried out to God. That's what he cried out to God. Now, God hears what Joshua says. Can somebody read what God said? Nice and loud.
Get up, why are you lying on your face?
Right. Stand up, why are you lying on your face? Why did God say that to Joshua? Because he thought, Joshua, you shouldn't be discouraged. Pessimism. I've given you victory after victory. And then after only one defeat, there you are. And your whole mind's mixed up about this promise of the promised land, going into it. You complain, what are the other enemies of Israel going to do when they hear this? Do you know anybody know any Christians like that? When they come up against a problem, they Pete brought this thing about complain, and I kind of wondered, where does that fit in? But many a Christian, because they don't understand what God is doing, they complain. Why God's doing this? And God knows. Stand up. What you're doing down there on your face. That is what God says to us if that's where we are. Stand up. What you're doing on your face down there. And then he says, there's a reason. There's a reason. What was the reason. Who sinned? Achan. What did he do? He pinched. Stole. Three things. What did he steal? Silver coins. A gold. About 50 shekels of gold, wasn't it? 200 and odd shekels of silver. And a robe. A robe from the city of Jericho. Now, each particular country has their own way of dressing, don't they? When could he have worn it? Look at me. I'm wearing a robe that I got from Jericho. Everybody would recognize it straight away, wouldn't they? So why did he steal it? If you actually, when he was challenged, we'll have a look at what Achan did in a little time. In verse 11, God lets Joshua know that there's a reason for their defeat. And what was it? Sin in the camp. Did God say that? No. God said three words. Israel has sinned. We know it was Achan. But God said to Joshua, Israel has sinned. Israel has sinned. God doesn't turn a blind eye to sin. Don't mince his words, don't God. Doesn't mince his words at all. Why? Because sin corrupts Christians. Sin weakens Christians. Sin defeats Christians. And that's what happened to Achan. And ultimately, to Israel against Ai. And so the first lesson, the second lesson, the disobedience of one individual can have a devastating negative effect on the whole community. Now, what do you think about that? Because that's what happened with Achan and Israel before God. One person, and Israel was defeated. And there were consequences. What were the dire consequences? 36 men lost their lives because of Achan being covetous. That's what happened. Can you see why this is a tough message? And God tells Joshua, he's going to uncover the culprit. And we carry on reading that what is he asked to do? He's asked the people to line up tribe by tribe, and there they all are. And then he goes from tribe by tribe, then he goes to families and singles out, and then household by household, and then man and man. Before he does that, very interesting, God, through Joshua, tells the people, so prepare for this. Consecrate yourselves before this happens. This is a serious situation for Israel. Why? The household of God had been dirtied in the eyes of God. And it was time for the mess. You know that scrapyard? It was the time for the mess to be identified and brought out into the open and dealt with. So I think it was a really solemn time. A serious time for Israel. And I think so far it is the saddest thing that has happened to Israel is chapter 7. That's the saddest thing. You see, revealing sin is always painful. It's always painful. It's never easy. And Achan was eventually singled out. Imagine that. Singled out. And he was actually asked how it happened. I just want to say, I don't know what you think about Achan. But all of us have the potential to fall. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. And fall hard in our Christian lives. Achan admits three things. Three things that he'd stolen. He'd actually stolen from the Lord's treasury. The silver and the gold belonged to God. And he took it and hid it. Now, Achan describes, and I want you to think about the words that are used in verse 21. Because kind of Joshua says to him, how did it happen, Achan? And the first verb he uses was, I saw. I saw. That's the beginning of all sin. Seeing. The looking. The desiring. The envying. For something we can't have. And then he says what? I saw. I coveted. I wanted it. See? And like I said, Achan didn't need these things. Who was he going to boast to them about? You see, when we possess hidden things, forbidden things, and engage in forbidden activities, what good is it for us? It doesn't bring blessing. Anything but. I don't think it's an accident that the 10th commandment was what? Don't covet your neighbour's wife. No, he didn't. But it's coveting. That's an inward thing in your heart. And that's what Moses warned the people about. Right? He warned the people about that in Deuteronomy. Okay? I saw, I coveted, I took. And then what did he do with it? He hid it. That's what we try and do with sin in our lives. Hide it from other Christians. Can't hide it from God, but we hide it. Dare I ask you the question, are you hiding anything? Because God, somebody always knows. That's God. God always knows. But there's a much deeper truth than Achan sinning. Its effect on the people of Israel. That's the dire consequence. It's like a cancer. It has that effect. It's a serious effect on the community of God's people. And they were defeated at Ai. What does it... We've got to ask this, you know, this word was about 2,700 years before now. And so we should ask ourselves, okay, that was Ai, and that was Achan, and that was Jericho. But what's it mean for us now? What does it mean for us now? Well, my sin is not isolated from you. And your sin is not isolated from anybody else. Now, isn't that serious? Isn't that serious? I think so. Whether it's hidden or not. Achan has sinned. No, it was Israel has sinned. Now you might say to me, it's not fair. Why should Israel be punished for one man's sin. There's people in the world who don't believe in God. They get away with sin, don't they? Apparently, at the moment. But this is where we have to say God is God. God's judgment belongs to God. God knows what's best. God's, the third lesson, God's judgment is not to be taken lightly. And like I said, it's the saddest story in the whole history of Israel at this point. It was about a good man being overcome by sin. And that's what happens. I've known of a number of good men in my last 34, 35 years as a Christian. Good preachers, men, women, used by God. But they fell. Because sin got hold of them. None of us are immune from that happening. Now, I'd like to sugarcoat this story for you. I'd like to say when Achan was singled out, brought before the people of Israel, what do we say? Sorry. I'm sorry I've been caught out. All right. Sorry for my sin. I'd love to say, Achan, that's okay. That's all right. You've acknowledged it. That's enough. Sorry, that's not what happened. It was so serious, it was going to have such an effect on the people of Israel. What happened? They took him, they took his family and all his livestock, and they found a valley, the Valley of Achor. And they threw them in, and then they stoned them all to death. Wow! Yes, we find that in the Old Testament. That's what happened to them. Achor, the meaning of Valley of Achor, was trouble. Certainly was for Achan. A valley of trouble. That's how serious sin is. And then they did what they'd done when they came through the River Jordan. They set up a pile of stones. Wasn't a good memory, was it? Because that's what it happened twice when they crossed the River Jordan. In the river and on the bank where they camped at Gilgal. And they set up this pile of stones as a reminder. Now, three lessons. The fourth, I told you there was a good one. The fourth lesson is God can turn disaster into victory. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, the Valley of Achor is mentioned. And you've got to go to one of those strange prophets, the prophet Hosea. And this is what Hosea says in chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. All right? He's injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. God is sovereign, and his desire for his people is not defeat, but what? Victory. All right? And the Valley of Achor became the Valley of Hope. That's the other meaning of Achor, is hope. It was transformed. Now, how would we respond to a message like this? Well, I've been praying that God will search our hearts. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. And I believe that God this morning wants us to search our hearts. Okay? What did I write down? The Holy Spirit oft, this is what I wrote down this morning here. The Holy Spirit often comes upon us bringing a sense of joy and praise. Have you sensed that this morning in our worship time? Joy and praise and thankfulness. And my prayer today is, Holy Spirit, if there is anything like this in us, Lord, will you bring a sense of conviction? All right, a sense of conviction, followed by a sense of cleansing and purification. Why do I say that? Because the Apostle John says, 1 John 1:9 says, if God reveals our sin to us, what do we do with it? If we confess our sins, that's with your mouth, if we confess our sins, he, same God, who brought about the judgment for Achan and his family, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't want us to stop there. The conviction's not enough. God wants us to bring it to him. And through applying what Jesus did on the cross, the Bible says the blood of Jesus given as a sacrifice for our sin, believing that Jesus did that for us, he'll cleanse our hearts. All right? I still think that rule in the Old Testament does have ramifications for the 21st century church. And that's why, keep short accounts with God. If God reveals stuff, is it because he loves us? And he knows it brings defeat. It's a tough message to bring this morning. I am so thankful that when things come like this, you don't dip. We've got to hear the whole counsel of God, the challenge of it. And God wants us to. Because you see, I believe we're nearly at the top of the mountain. And God is going to do something quite miraculous. Angela intimated. But you know, if we're not consecrated before God, if there's anything in our lives, then it's going to upset all that. And I don't want it to upset. I'm sure you don't. And I think, like I said, I think Joshua is such a timely book because it's God knows his timing and everything. And God said, oh, I want to just remind you this morning. And so I think we should have a individual time. If some people want to openly confess, that's fine. But the important thing is between us and God. Between us and God. Remember, it can happen to any of us. Any of us. Myself included. Okay. But it's a message of hope. All right. God sorts things out. So let's just have a couple of minutes, just on 12 o'clock, a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to close in prayer. The psalmist actually says, search my heart, Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse, forgive me of my sin. so that I and my heart might be as white as snow. That was the psalmist David. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this word today. I thank you, Lord, that your word is always so helpful. I pray, Lord, that we might take sin seriously, as you do. It cost thee the life of your Son, Jesus, for it to be forgiven, for the price to be paid for sin. And I thank you, Lord, that your forgiveness, cleansing, is still available today. And we pray, Lord, that we can know cleansing of heart, real cleansing of our heart. There need not be anything between us and you. Lord, I look forward to what you're going to do in this city. I don't want to be a stumbling block in any way whatsoever. None of us do, Lord. Because your plans, your will is so mighty. It's so wonderful. It's so wide-reaching. And, oh Lord, we just want to welcome you amongst us. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to release your power. The gospel will be accompanied by signs and wonders in this city. I just want to pray, Lord, for not just us as a church, but we pray, Lord, for the other churches that are going to be involved. I pray, Lord, that you will visit them, reveal to them this seriousness, this challenge that you, Lord, want to bring in preparation for what you want to do. Lord, you are so great. We were singing your holy, holy one, righteous one. You're our God. Jesus, you're our Saviour. Just thank you for that today. Thank you for the closeness that your Holy Spirit brings about between us and you. And I pray, Lord, that it will deepen. It will deepen day by day. Lord, Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives always. In your wonderful name. Amen.